Wow. What Steve wasn't able to share there, because he shared the story before this series began, is that when we launched our current series, we actually launched 3 dinner groups at Fox Hill Gardens, which is just unbelievable. Unbelievable how God is working and moving. And it's amazing to see. It's amazing to see what God can do when we answer his call. For the past couple of weeks, if you haven't been with us, we've been asking this question: what am I here for? What is this whole thing about? And we've seen how God, as he steps into our story, he steps in and so powerfully says, listen, you are here on purpose for a purpose. And there are things that I plan for you to uniquely do before this whole thing started. And this reality that not one of us is an accident. And God is calling us into that purpose. He's calling us to embrace what it is that he created us for. And the way that the scriptures typically talk about it is just that. It talks about it in terms of calling. And for the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at, okay, how do we answer that call? And there are calls in our life that are very specific, very unique to us, like the call that Steve talked about there in Fox Hill Gardens. But then there are calls that are shared, that God extends to all of us. And we've been walking through those for the past couple of weeks, beginning with the call to be loved. God says, no, I want for you to embrace my love. I want you to live a life of worship, not a life of works. I want you to be loved by me. And then we built on that, looked at the call to embrace not just his love, but to embrace his family. And last week, we looked at this call to embrace growth, that God has a plan for me to grow. God doesn't expect me to just be there. He has a plan that I get to engage with him on what it looks like to grow and how to continue becoming more and more like Jesus. We've been looking at these calls that God extends to every single one of us, no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, that God has extended to you, that he's inviting you into. And today I want to continue to build on that. And to do that, I want to go back to the book that we've been sitting in inside of this conversation, the book of Ephesians. And as Paul, and for those of you who don't know, Paul is an individual who at first hated Jesus, wanted nothing to do with Jesus, but then Jesus drastically changes his life. He begins to take the message of Jesus to the Roman Empire, and God is using and speaking through Paul to the church at Ephesus. And as he's writing to them, he's sharing with them, listen, this plan didn't just start yesterday. This plan started a long time ago. And he's unpacking for them what this calling is and how they respond to it. And I want to go back to that because I don't think he's done yet. I want to pick up in Ephesians chapter 4. Once again, as we start off, we're going to actually read through a passage that we talked about a couple weeks ago, and then we're going to go into something new. It says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. That's what we're talking about. He says, I want for you to embrace, I want you to step into, I want to live the life that's worthy of the calling you've received. Okay, what is that calling? Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Okay, how do I embrace that calling? You embrace the family. You step into his family. He says, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And this is what we talked about. Okay, I'm going to embrace God's family. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on and talks about how we embrace that family. He says, there's one family. I want you to step into that family. There's one family. I want you to be a part of that family. But then he continues and says this, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Now, what do you mean? What are you talking about? He's saying, well, God, in God's grace, he's done something for each of us. This is why it says when he ascended on high, and here he's talking about prophecy, he says, This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led the captive in his train and gave gifts to men. He says, this is why it's prophesied, not just that God would free us from sin and guilt and shame and everything that he freed us from. He said, this is why it says, not only that he would do that, but that he would give to each of us gifts. As he continues later, he goes into detail about what some of those gifts are. It says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. And again, this is what we looked at last week. He's doing all of this, why? To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. And here we see the passage that we looked at when he said, I want you to embrace growth. He says, I want you to embrace God's family, and I want you to embrace growth, and I want you to understand that as you embrace God's family, not only do I want you to be loved by God's family and to love God's family, but you have to understand inside of that family, there's unique things that God has not only prepared for you to do, but that God has gifted you to do. And so I want for you to engage this family in such a way, not just for what you're going to get, but for what you're going to be able to give. And understand this, you have been uniquely gifted to be able to give to that family so that we continue to grow together. He says, I want for you to live a life that's worthy of your calling. How do we do that? Well, we embrace the family, we embrace growth, but we also embrace our role and utilize our giftedness. We embrace our role and utilize our giftedness. He says, I want for you to use the unique way that you've been gifted to impact the world around you. Now, in order to do that, you have to embrace your role. You say, well, what is my role? Your role is not your gift. All of us have the same role inside the body of Christ. When Paul introduces himself in his letters, he says, Paul, a servant. Paul and Timothy, a servant. Peter says, a slave. All of us have the same role, and that role is the role of servant. God says, no, I created you to serve my family. And the role that we have is servant. Our responsibilities may change. Our responsibilities may change and how God uses us may change. But all the time, we are one thing. We are servants. We are his servants. We are here to serve. We want to serve him. And we want to serve the Father and serve his family as best as we possibly can. This is what it's talking about in Philippians, where it's talking to us about having the same attitude or the same mindset as Jesus. Listen to how it talks about Jesus' mindset. It says, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of what? Of a servant, being made in human likeness. Jesus says this about himself. I love the way that he phrases it when he speaks to his disciples. He says, for even the Son of Man, he says, even me, he says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus says, even me, I'm a servant. I'm a servant. And Paul says, I want for you to live a life worthy of your calling. Engage the family, but engage it not for what you're going to get from it, but for how you can serve it and how you can uniquely with your gift serve it, uniquely with your gift impact it. And here's the thing, God's given us all unique gifts. Now in Ephesians, he talks specifically about leadership gifts, but there's far more than just what you see. When we're talking about spiritual gifts, there's far more than just what you see in Ephesians. As a matter of fact, as Paul's writing to the church at Rome, he expands on this in a much greater way. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 12. It says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body." And then he's talking about how we fit together as a family, and then he continues. He says, "We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully." And he's writing to them, and he's saying, listen, there's all sorts of ways that God has gifted you to be able to engage the body, to be able to serve the body. And Paul says, if you're going to live a life that's worthy of your calling, you have to utilize your giftedness, embrace your role and utilize your giftedness. Now you say, well, what are you talking about? And I think sometimes we make this far more complicated than it needs to be. A spiritual gift is just this. A spiritual gift is a skill or talent that you have that God uses to impact the people around you spiritually. It doesn't have to be super complicated. It's a skill or talent that you have that God uses to impact the people around you spiritually. It may not be your best skill or talent. One of the things that's interesting is sometimes God uses things that we're not necessarily great at. It may be something that we don't even know if we're good at, but God's going to use it spiritually. He does this with Moses. He says, "Moses, I want for you to be the one who speaks for me." Moses is like, "I'm not good at talking." God says, "Who cares?" And he uses that. And one of the amazing things that God has said to us is for each and every one of us, as we step into a relationship with him, he says, no, I'm going to give you a spiritual gift. And there's going to be ways in which I use you spiritually in the world around you. And I want for you to discover that, and I want for you to use that to serve the people around you, to impact the people around you. It's not just that God created unique things for you to do before this whole thing began. It's also that God uniquely created you to do them. God uniquely created you to do them. And he says, I want for you to utilize that gift. Well, how do we do that? This is why community is so important. Because spiritual giftedness is only discovered inside of community. Why? Because you have to see how God uses you, and others have to see how God uses you inside of community. It's not about you. It's about you impacting other people. And as you see that, and as others see that, all of a sudden you can gain confidence, not just in your calling, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, but you can gain confidence in your giftedness. What you're looking for when it comes to spiritual giftedness is this. Where do you see an impact that's not proportionate to the skill or talent? Where do you see an impact that's not proportionate to the skill or talent? All of you have experienced this. Now, many of you have shared this story with me, and for many of you, this is your story. I talk to people, they say, man, I walked in, and the worship leader started singing, and I just started crying, and I don't know why. They're not that good as singers. It's not that they're drastically better singers than anyone else. It's what's happening. It's a spiritual gift. It's a spiritual gift. And there are some people, they can sing the exact same song as someone else. Someone else might even be able to sing it better, but they sing it, and God works and moves through that in ways you can't explain. Maybe you've experienced this because you've grown frustrated by it. So sometimes I grow frustrated by this because I'll know that someone's struggling or someone's going through something, and I'll say, "Man, I'm gonna encourage them," and I go up to them and share the most encouraging thing I can possibly think of, and I'm sharing with them, and they're like, "Oh, thank you." And then my wife will walk up. This happened to me so many times. My wife will walk up and say the exact same thing that I said. Or not even, sometimes she doesn't even say it as well as I said it. And she'll walk up and she'll say something, and all of a sudden the person's like, "Oh my goodness, my life has just changed. I feel so encouraged." I'm like, "I just said that." What's happening? Well, my wife has a spiritual gift of encouragement. And God spiritually impacts people through that in her life. And God says, I've given that to all of you. I've gifted all of you in that way, but it's going to show up with different things. And it's going to look differently in all of your lives. And there's all sorts of skills and abilities that I can use in this way. But you can only discover it inside of community, because you have to be able to see God working and moving through you. And you have to be able to see it in yourself, see it in other people. It's identified in community. And I know when it comes to spiritual gifts that sometimes we like to be able to do it, to find it outside of community. And sometimes one of the things that I'll see people do, or one of the things that I see practice, is that we try to create this comprehensive list of all the spiritual gifts and what they might look like. And we go to the different letters where spiritual gifts are listed, and we put all of those lists together to create this comprehensive list. And we're like, "Okay, which one of these do you think God uses in your life?" Or maybe we even take a quiz. And as you go into groups this week, you're going to take a quiz and you're going to kind of look at, okay, how have you seen God work and move in your life? But that's only effective inside of community. That quiz outside of community is completely ineffective. Why? Because you have to see God working and moving through you. And the reality is that there is no comprehensive list of gifts. It's interesting that we have that idea. I think we have that idea because we have all the letters together. You understand, like, they didn't get all the letters together. And when you look at the list inside the scriptures, you see that every list is different. Every time God is speaking to us about gifts, he gives us a different list. Why? Well, because it's not supposed to be a comprehensive list. I mean, if it is, when you look at it, it's interesting. Romans, as God's communicating to the church at Rome, there are 7 gifts that are listed. As God's communicating to the church at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, 2 different letters, there's 2 different lists, and there's a little bit of crossover between the two lists, but there's ones on ones that aren't in the other ones, and there's about 12 total. And then when he's writing to Ephesus, he only lists 4. If this is a comprehensive list, the church at Ephesus got screwed. They only get 4, and everybody, but that's not the point. The point isn't that there's a comprehensive list. The point is, no, God can work and move through all these different things in your life and different skills and abilities, and it's going to show up as you are in community, and he uses you to impact others. And so some of you have the gift of just people, as people encounter you, they just feel at home. It's not just like, "Oh, I like you." It's there's something spiritually that happens in their life. He says, "Yeah, there's a gift of hospitality." And there are all these different ways that God wants to use us, but we have to be in community. And And the quiz can be good to get us thinking that way and about ourselves and about other people, but it's community that helps us to see it and have confidence in it. And he says, I want for you to understand not only is there unique things that I created for you to do, but I uniquely created you to do them. And so I want for you to use your gift in serving. I want you to engage the family and use your gift. You say, well, how do I start? You embrace your role. You start to serve. And sometimes we want to be able to figure out a gift before we start to serve. That's the equivalent of trying to figure out what position we're going to play on the field before we pick up a baseball. No. That's not how you... No one walks onto a football field and is like, you know what? I think I'm a safety. I'll start playing football. No. You start to play football. You start... Or let's take it in a different direction because some of you hate sports. You say, well, no one sits down and say, okay, I'm going to be this kind of writer and now I'm going to start writing. No. You start writing and all of a sudden the people around you are like, man, you're an incredible poet. Or you start writing, like, man, your short stories are awesome. Your long stories are boring, but your short stories are amazing. And inside of community, you discover, okay, what is it that I'm good at? And where do I fit? And the same thing is true inside the body. When you begin to serve that way, when you step into service, all of a sudden the people around you are able to speak into that in your life. And it gives you clarity about not just your calling, but your giftedness. And so some of you just need to start serving. Next week at 3:00 inside this space, we're going to transform this whole space. There's going to be tables throughout the room. You're going to be able to meet all of our teams, all of our team leaders, and find out all the different ways that you can start serving. Why? So that you can find the perfect place for you? No. So that you can start serving and in community discover the reality that God uniquely created things for you to do and uniquely created you to do them. And inside that community, you're going to discover that. As you experience God using you and others see that, but you have to start serving. God's calling you into this. What are you going to do with that call? I think that God has some amazing things that he wants to do through our church family as we move into the next year. You hear that story of Steve and what's happening at Fox Hill Gardens. I think we have the capability to be able to do that all over our city. And there are other buildings that are already asking us, would you please come do the same thing in our building? We have a home for Down syndrome individuals that's asking us, would you please come do that inside of our building? Some of you, the reality is that your neighbors are never going to come here to be a part of a service, but they very well might be invited and show up if that service was taking place in the community room in your building. And what if you did the same thing there? I said, no, you don't have to go to a big church thing. It's just in the community room, and we're going to be there, and we live stream it right here. And you have no idea what God wants to do through you. Right now, our middle school is beginning to explode. And for some of you, the reality is that God wants to use you to impact those kids' lives. And he has uniquely created you to do that. And people who impact middle schoolers, I'm telling you, are uniquely created. But some of you, that's you. Are you going to answer the call? Are you going to answer the call? You know what's amazing about this whole thing? Everything that we're talking about, not only are we called to it. But do you realize Jesus answered every one of these calls? He doesn't just teach us this. He did this. So he answers the call to be loved. He spends that time. He gets away with the Father. He answers the call into God's family. If you think it's difficult for you to be inside of God's family, can you imagine what it was like for him to have to put up with us? But he says, no, I'm going to be in community. I'm going to be in community. Even when it comes to this, he answers the call to the role to serve. And he understands there are specific things. There are unique things that God had planned for him before this whole thing started. And he says, I'm going to embrace that. I'm going to embrace my role in this story. And I'm not going to try to find significance outside of the Father's story. No, I find my significance inside of the Father's story. One of the greatest temptations of Jesus, there's three temptations that are brought to Jesus. One of those temptations is make a big deal of yourself outside of the Father's story. So they take him to the top of the temple and says, why don't you jump off and show everybody who you are and receive the glory that's due you and receive the praise that's due you. And Jesus says, no. There's unique things that God has prepared for me to do, that the Father has planned for me to do, and I'm going to step into that. And I'm going to find my significance in the most significant story ever told. The story that God's been telling from the very beginning. And make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it. He is the hero of that story. But he also wrote you into that story. Not on accident. Not as an afterthought. Just as he had unique things that were planned for him, that he could uniquely do, so do you. It's the same story. And he wrote you into it. Will you answer the call? It's not just that he planned unique things for you to do. He uniquely created you to do them. Will you serve, discover, and utilize your giftedness? Will you pray with me? Father, I pray that today as we look not only at what you're calling to, but this, the powerful way that Jesus, you embrace this, I pray that it would overwhelm us, that you demonstrated this for us. And that what you're calling us to, you have been the example, and we've seen the impact of that in our own lives. Father, I pray that we would answer the call, that we'd embrace our role, that we'd step into the family, not to be served, but to serve, and to discover and utilize our giftedness. In Jesus' name, amen.